B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's not just worrying about keeping everybody safe and healthy, but we also realize that we have a job to do in trying to get in shape. The challenge of trying to do both of this, and it is a challenge. So, but guys have been working so hard on doing different things in the stadium, putting in another cage, putting in a mound underneath that's covered in case we get rain. So all these things have been in a hurry, have been put in place to try to get us ready for this season.
Jason Mastrodonato?
Yes, Mr. Mastrodonato. We've had him on a bunch.
I know. I just don't want to screw up the name like I screw up everything. He covers the Red Sox for the Herald. Jason, thank you. I didn't mean to mess up your name earlier, but I'm an idiot.
Good morning, guys. You nailed it.
Thank you.
Real quick, Fred, let me just start because I had heard a little bit from Tracy, our producer, and I know you guys had texted over the weekend, and I was fascinated by how everything was set up at Fenway. And actually, to be quite honest, I've been fascinated on how the launch of the season has gone. I mean, from the tests that the players had to take to, you know, I read a story this morning about the A's didn't even get their results back. They haven't even gotten them yet, so they couldn't even start practicing. It's been kind of a cluster F, but you would have to figure
the A's would be the
cheapest organization in sports.
Can't control the
right. I know.
But you kind of painted a picture for Tracy just what it was like on that first day on Friday. And can you kind of go through some of those things and what you experienced on the first day that the press was allowed there?
Yeah, it was, as you would expect, for something that was put together very quickly. That it was very clear that the last few months, Major League Baseball and the teams have not been worrying about how they're going to get the game on the field, but they've been worrying about how they're going to financially make up any losses that they might endure from this strange season, if they have it. That there was so much negotiating going on between the players and the owners about the financial aspects, it seems, and I'm not the only one to say this, I mean, it's reporters and players alike who feel like everything else was kind of fell behind. And, you know, you could see it in what's happening with the players and the cases, but for me personally, going into the park on Friday at Fenway, it doesn't feel like it's done right. It's just, there's so many things that feel uncertain about it. You walk in, you get your temperature taken from one of those automatic screens that somehow take your temperature. Of course, we know you could not have a temperature and still have the coronavirus, as a lot of people do, so that doesn't really do a whole lot. You have to sign a waiver before you go that says you haven't been in contact with anyone who's had the virus. Before you go into the stadium, you have to show them that you signed this waiver. But now you're relying on everyone to just be honest, and you don't even know if you've been in contact with someone who's had the virus. So then you get up to the press box. There's still people sitting in the second and the third row of the press box, which is, guys, this is a 100-year-old ballpark, as we know. This is a tight press box. You're trying to be socially distant, but, you know, not everyone's wearing their masks. There's people going around without their masks. They had to actually send an email out to all the reporters and say, hey, our Red Sox security team has noticed that a lot of people aren't wearing masks. You guys got to do better. And, you know, there's one bathroom. It's tiny that you're all trying to share. I was there 4 hours. I didn't see any cleaning crews coming in to clean it up. They're supposed to have a seat for everybody outside if they want it. There's 35 media availabilities. They had 6 outdoor seats. So it's just everything was thrown together very quickly. And you look at it and you say, what is the risk reward for me as a reporter to be here? What am I learning from being at the park? Now, the first day was important to see what's going on. Right. But since then, for me personally, I made a decision it wasn't worth it to go, because I'm not gaining a whole lot from watching these guys from 5 stories up. I don't know what JD Martinez's swing looks like from 5 stories up. I can get better feedback watching the camera guys post their videos. They're, you know, for camera guys, they're getting good reels. The photographers are getting good shots. But for reporters, five stories up, it's hard to really gain a whole lot. And you realize that you're putting yourself at risk by being there. So for me personally, I decided it wasn't worth it right now. We'll see what happens when game starts.
All right. Why is there not more outdoor seating? That seems like the easiest thing in the world. I mean, there's
plenty.
If I'm not mistaken, Fenway has a lot of outdoor seats. I would assume that they could
go,
hey.
There's 30-something thousand seats available, but the section they gave us was three sections. They said, here are your sections. There's a couple security workers there. They marked off the seats. I was told there were six or seven seats for outside. I sat in one of them. I mean, it was fine. I didn't have a problem getting one. It's just the fact that there isn't one available for everyone who wants it that's a little concerning.
Now, what about what the players were doing? What did you observe as far as, because, I mean, we saw the pictures this weekend of the luxury suites being converted into basically makeshift locker rooms for each of these guys. But once you saw them out on the field and moving around and how they've converted, like, you know, the concourse into weight rooms, do you think that that is something that is sustainable to keep these guys safe?
You know, it's so hard to tell because you look at the way, I mean, they love it because they're not in their stuffy locker room that is old and cramped. So they love being in these suites. You see them walking down. It's funny to see them walking from the suites. You can see them in the stands walking down to get onto the field. Some of them have their masks on. Some of them don't. They're optional for the players. Now, most of the coaches are trying to wear their masks, and when they're communicating closely, they have their masks on, but it's hard. And baseball workouts are as such that guys are just clumped together in groups all the time. And, you know, Ron Reneke, the manager, is trying his hardest to organize it so there's not too many guys on the field at once. But there are. There are often a lot of guys on the field at once. There are often groups. You know, Reneke said he's had several times had to step out of a group discussion because he felt like he was adding another person in a small group that was too close to each other. So there's just a lot of that going on.
Okay, can I ask you a question, though? Is because some of the stuff that I've heard from baseball seems a little ludicrous in that it's going to be completely impossible to enforce. And one of them is I don't know why I'm fascinated with this, is pitchers licking their fingers. And, if that's going to do something, like, you know what I'm saying? Like that just seems, first of all, if I've been licking my fingers since I was 5 years old, you know, and I'm a 25-year-old pitcher, that's not going away. And to me, like, if that's a danger, then don't play. Like, if you're that concerned about something that small, you know, don't play. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, it gets hit short. I throw the ball to first and back to the pitcher. I mean, if that tiny amount of saliva is the difference between me getting coronavirus or not, I mean, that seems a little ridiculous to me.
Right, exactly. And Brett Anderson, one of the pitchers on the Milwaukee Brewers, tweeted when he read that, he said it's a joke that they think that guys aren't going to lick their fingers and they're giving them a wet rag instead, that it's a joke. So there are a lot of little things that they're going to have to do. And that's the whole thing when you're there that you realize in action, when you see what's going on in the park, is this is such a collective effort that it takes so much work from every single person involved to be so careful that it's hard to even focus on baseball. And some of the guys have said that. You know, Sean Doolittle had some interesting comments yesterday, the Nationals all-star reliever, who said that he's worried about his mental health. He's so concerned about everything else that's going on that he can't even play, that it's hard for these guys. And, of course, you know, you mentioned the testing earlier, the A's still haven't gotten their test results back. This is happening across baseball. It's taking days to get these test results back. So if I'm in Fenway tomorrow, you know, there could be Rafael Devers could have, you know, gone out to dinner the night before, contracted the virus, walked into the park, and they're not going to get test results for 2 or 3 days. He could be walking around there sharing his germs. So there's just so much that they don't know, and that's why you see the players' reaction, which is a lot of them are saying, I don't know if we can do this.
What do you think the chances are? Because I heard like Andrew Miller speculate this weekend and a couple other ones.
He better play.
I know you're a big fan. I know. St. Louis.
Dan Cardinal bullpen.
He's
on thin ice as it is.
Just from what you've seen this weekend and what you're hearing the players say, what do you think the chances are that they're going to be able to complete this season?
I'd say about 25%.
Whoa, like, they're, guess, they're gonna complete it? You think 25 they'll complete it?
Maybe that's a little high that they'll complete it. I'd say it's 25% that they get it going and get like 10 or 20 games in. It's just so hard. You look what's happened. We've had 3 days so far, and each day has seemed to just compile on top of each other. Day one, we had 38 positive test results, and we said, okay, 38 across the league, maybe that's doable. Day two, we learned that was just 1 day's of test results. And we didn't even have a lot of teams in that batch. Now there's all these other guys testing positive on top of it. By day three, we got big all-star names, David Price, Felix Hernandez, Ryan Zimmerman, Ian Desmond, dropping out, saying we don't want to do this. Now, these are guys who have made their money, and so they can kind of afford it. So those are the guys you expect to drop out first. All the coaches dropping out, the older coaches who don't want to do it, who are scared. Brad Mills, Tito Francona's right-hand man for a long time, doesn't want to participate. So when you see the big names and the all-stars, some of them dropping out, to me that signals the start of, okay, now some other guys are going to look at this a little bit seriously. Guys who haven't made their money are going to be the last ones to drop out because they obviously have a lot more to prove than some of these other ones. But I think guys are really starting to second guess it. And you see the comments from Mike Trout, from Buster Posey, from a lot of these guys that say, I don't know if this is going to work and I don't even know if I'm going to stay. I'm just checking it out right now. And from what you can see going on, it just looks like it's going to be so much work, and the test results are lagging so far behind that it's just going to be too difficult.
Jeez, man.
Yeah,
I saw the test they're giving him, too. It's not even like, are they like spitting in vials, too? It's I didn't even know you could test that way.
Right. The spitting in vials, I guess Colin McHugh, the Red Sox pitcher, said you have to not eat or drink for 30 minutes beforehand. And you have to do it 15 times. So now, again, there's another layer of, is everyone really going to not eat or drink 30 minutes before their test? And there's 3,000 tests going on. There's just so much, guys. That's the part that's hard to wrap your head around, is how much goes into this.
All right, so what to you seems like the... Are they afraid of traveling? Is it the experience on the field? Because of all the sports, you would assume that baseball would be the safest.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think it's everything else. It's not their experience on the field. It's everything else. It's the travel. It's being in the suite with the other guy. It's the eating lunch with them. It's the meetings. The travel is a huge one. It's just, how do you do that? How do you maintain the safety of that going for 30 road games? I mean, that might be 7, 8, 9 cities that you're going to in a month and a half. So that's the part when you have guys and their families, and some of them want to see their families on the road. Some of them still have their families with them. It's just another layer of protection, too. I think that's going to be the hardest part, is the travel. And going from, they're supposed to just go from the ballpark to the hotel and back and forth. They're not even supposed to eat dinner at the hotel restaurants. So who's going to be policing this? Is there going to be someone who's out there saying, hey, what are you doing? You can't eat dinner out here. You're supposed to be eating in your room like everyone else. These are guys who have lived a very luxurious life, some of them, for the last few years. Are they going to all want to do that? That's another part that you wonder, is how are they going to behave on the road? And it's not that these are bad guys. We can all see. We all have friends who are handling this virus differently. Some are going out a lot, putting themselves at more risk than others. And I don't think it's going to be any different in baseball.
Well, there's also, too, Jason, like Mitch Moreland, there's a lot of guys who are going to be doing what he's doing. And if I read correctly this weekend, he made the decision to just be away from his family for the entirety of the season. So there's going to be guys who are making a decision or having to make the decision over the next week or so. Am I going to leave my family and be away from them for 4 months or so? And is it worth it? Like, have I made enough money where I really feel that I need to do this and put myself at risk? And they're reading what Freddie Freeman's going through right now, and they're saying, hey, Freddie Freeman's a healthy dude, and this is apparently crushing him right now, according to...
He was careful, too. That's the other part.
He was careful.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. It is weird that all this is piling up. And you know what? It sucks, because you're right. I think the one place that they feel that they can get away from all this is once the game starts and they step out onto the field, but there's just so much that you have to think about outside of it, that it's got to be tough to concentrate.
Exactly. And you look at it and you almost feel for a guy like Mike Trout, who's made a ton of money and is going to make a ton of money. He's supposed to make $37 million this year. Obviously, it's prorated, so it's going to be much less. But he doesn't need to be here. His wife is pregnant. They're close to having their first child. He's out there running the bases with one of those full N95 masks with the double strap that, you know, hurts the back of your head. And he's out there running the bases and taking batting practice with this thing on. And, you know, he understands he's the face of baseball. And, no, he's not LeBron James, and he doesn't have that kind of marketability that some of these other faces of their sports have. But he's still the face of baseball. He's the best player in the game. And he's taking this seriously. He's out there, like you said, being away from his family right now. And is he not going to be able to see his newborn child? Is he not going to be able to see his wife? That's what these guys are going through right now. And so that's why I expect we've seen some people drop out so far. The next week or two is going to be really interesting to see how many drop out, who are the names that drop out, and is it going to be any unproven guys who haven't made their money yet? Because once that starts happening, they're going to be the last to drop out. Once that starts happening, that will be the signal of where the season's going.
I feel bad. I'm running around getting tattoos. I'm running around eating. My goodness, these guys are...
I feel much better. This is great. Thanks, Jason.
I'm hopeful, guys. I want baseball.
I can tell you're really hopeful.
I know,
yeah.
I know you do. We all do. But, I mean, but it's weird, man. All the stuff this weekend, the reports just kept coming in. I'm like, dude, this sucks. This doesn't look good.
Let's not even discuss football and the problem they're going
to
have.
My predictions about hockey seem to be coming into fruition.
Thank goodness for Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are going to play. All right, well, Jason, Mastro Donato, Jesus, I suck. Mastro Donato from the Herald, interesting stuff. And I would just go to the Red Sox. Let me sit outside. I would like that. Could you give me one of the 30,000 seats?
Just to be clear, I had a seat outside. It was fine. It's just the fact that they hadn't planned that, you know, you could see all the... how rushed together everything was.
Oh, one last question. How happy was Dan Roach when he was there?
I sat next to Dan. The guy was, you know, moderately happy. For him, I would say that's the least happy I've seen him, and he was still probably a solid seven. A solid seven.
Did he stand up when he was next to you? Because that would be...
He was doing his best to enjoy himself, but everyone's a little bit on edge.
Well, I have a feeling that Dan was just putting on airs. I think that Dan would gladly die to be at Fenway Park. Jason, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Country
Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Journey.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Toucher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich.
Sorry, did we interrupt?
I never know when we're coming back.
Well, tell the rest of the class, what are you eating?
Never mind. Rich, all I know is it's like 2 days old. Rich, you had something that was a hot take police thing.
Oh, I mean, it was as hot take as hot takes can get.
Hot take police.
They don't get hotter.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
The only thing hotter is the seat that this gentleman sits on every day. Nice and warm. The amount of girth that this gentleman has. But
which
Peter
is very
King,
ironic when you hear the story.
Well, I mean, this is just... So Peter King, who of course is Burt Breer's old boss, and you know somebody who has worked for MMQB for years. Where does he work now? I don't even know where he works anyway. NBC Sports, I guess. I'm not sure.
He works at a Subway.
Okay, I guess he does. But Peter King this weekend, somebody tweeted the guy named Jerry Sullivan said, the media could do culture a favor and ignore the sickening spectacle of competitive eating. It's revolting. And Peter King retweeted it and said, what he said. And now after that, somebody tweeted Peter King and said, listen, you don't, he goes, you do know you have a remote and you don't have to watch. And that's when Peter King just goes all in. He goes, all right, I have a cause, and you're about to hear my GD stance here.
This
all right,
is this is the hill I'm going to die on. This is my passion project. This is what I'm into. This is, all right, everyone step back. I'm cracking my knuckles and getting on the compute.
So the guy says, you do know you have a remote and do not have to watch. And to that, Peter King answers, never have, never will. Not the point. The fact is, ESPN celebrates the birthday of our country by airing a gluttonous, vomitous, and grotesque event. Eating is not a sport. Competitive eating is a sin.
I mean, how many buffets have told them the same thing?
You're a moron!
I mean, how many buffets have said, sir, this is not the spirit of the buffet. This is...
Sign the manager of the Golden Corral.
Yeah, this is something that, sir, you're going to have to... In one plate a person... So, yes, he is, by the way, the birth of our country. I like that. It's because it negates everything that goes along with the 4th of July because Joey Chestnut ate a bunch of hot dogs.
Well, that's not the first time he's linked the two. Like, I mean, there's two different, you know, things he's working on here. One is that it's gluttonous and it's a sin. And the other thing is, how dare this be the way you choose to glorify what America is? Because back in 2010, he wrote just what the Declaration signers had in mind 234 years ago. The gluttonous hot dog eating contest makes me wretch to be an American.
You know how many Americans back when the Constitution was signed that would have liked to have that many hot dogs?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's a good point.
They had a hot dog party.
Yeah, I think that they would have enjoyed the hot dogs. I think that they would have.
You'd have to go out and shoot something and then
it would have solved a lot of problems. Yeah, like, you know, Grapes of Wrath and that's. You're telling me
Ben Franklin would wash 75 hot dogs if he had a chance?
No, he would drink 75 beers and then he would be like, bring hot dogs on. And these men congregated in bars.
He was the Peter King of Declaration signers.
Yes, I find it, it just dismisses, I'll tell you this, is if you have family or yourself are in the military, I can only imagine how damaging the hot dog eating contest on ESPN is to your, that you sit there with your hands in the air saying, you know, what about my country, with a tear running down the Statue of Liberty's cheek. Well, because they're eating donuts at Coney Island. I mean, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen, ever heard. By the way, it's gross. Yeah, it's the whole point of it. It's a sin. Good, gluttony's a sin. Good. You know what else is a sin? Is your farts.
By the way, as I was mentioning earlier, Mike from Woburn found what I believe, well, he believes to be the burner account of
Peter
King. Yeah,
I've been investigating this, and I would, dollars to donuts, I would bet you it's 99% sure that it's Peter King's burner account.
It has to be, okay, because who else would go that tweet and find, go through his options of people replying to him and then reply back to what all these guys said? Like, who would do that? There would have to be somebody who's, I mean, obviously, it's got to be. It kept fighting him back. Here it is. Like, this guy's name is PFHOF Canton Guy. And
because
somebody
he couldn't even
replied,
resist in a burner account putting in that he's responsible for putting people in the Professional Football Hall of Fame, which, by the way, is a huge responsibility. I mean, you know, I mean, next to eating hot dogs, I mean, come on. I mean, you can't put the two in the same category. I mean, he picks randoms to go into a stupid Super Bowl or Super Hall of dumb NFL Hall of Fame that no one's ever been to. But continue.
So somebody tweeted back to Peter King, hey, it's just eating hot dogs. And this guy swoops in, PFHOF Canton Guy, and says, which isn't a sport. And then, of course, somebody answers back and goes, what would you rather have, Peter? Another story on Cam Newton. And here comes PFHOF Canton Guy. He goes, at least that's an actual sports story. And so he's just answering people who didn't reach out to him.
So he's offended that ESPN, which is supposed to be a sports network, is covering the hot dog eating contest that as if it was like they were having it at a church or like he's acting like they're having it on someone's grave. I mean, like, it's ESPN. It's not a sport. So what?
I mean, you cover a sport where Mike Webster went ballistic because of brain injury. Big sport. It's not a sport. Well, listen, you got to hold it down because that is a big debate going on in the United States right now, is if competitive eating is a sport. Have you ever heard of anyone who had an opinion on competitive eating? like, who would possibly care?
Other than, dude, that was awesome. That's it. That's it. Oh, that was cool.
It's not
that's
even it. Like, it's just like, they. Yeah, it's gross that they put the bun in the water. But, I mean, have you ever, like, who watches that and goes, this is very disturbing. This needs to stop. And on our nation's birthday, the 4th of July. You know what they should do on our nation's birthday is elect people to the Football Hall of Fame.
That would, of course, make it all worth it.
That's right, because it's the most important thing in the world.
Did you see Esoteric this weekend say thanks to all the congratulations on winning the hot dog championship
again?
Yeah,
he looks exactly like him. He looks exactly
like Joey Chestnut. He does.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Joey Chestnut. That's exactly who he looks like. They're mirror images of one another. Peter, and then Peter King, so he has this burner account that he defends his stance on competitive eating.
God, now I want to see what else he's tweeted about. Like, what has he done?
Here's Jack Klugman getting into the Hall of Fame. Famous center for the Baltimore Hoosie-Watts in 1920. Because you got to, you know, the Veterans Committee, I mean, you got to let him in. Football Hall of Fame. It's not a sport. Ooh, well then. Why would anyone pay attention to it then if it's not a sport? This movie's not a sport. Yeah, you watch the people eat once a year. Good. And then you turn on Man versus Food, you go, eat, fat boy, eat. And that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's fun about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat him. Look at that. He's eating a lot of crap. Shove it down your gullet. Yeah, just, and Peter, you know, because I think Peter King's jealous. He just seems like all those hot dogs. Yeah. He starts drooling. This isn't a sport. It's called heaven. It's gluttonous. Like my love for craft beer. I have one. I love to have one beer.
Isn't he the guy that like stopped at one of the rest stops and popped open his laptop and enjoyed a refreshing brew while you know,
yes,
writing from camp?
Yes,
no, he did it every single column.
Oh, is that what it was?
He wrote about craft. Yeah, it was. Okay. It was like, you know how his columns were like 45 pages long.
Yeah.
There was always like craft beer of the week, and he's like, "Wet my whistle with this bad boy out of San Francisco," and you're like, "All right, Peter." All right. Well,
he's got so many people like tweeting him, and not so sure he's a hypocrite because he doesn't think shoving food into your mouth isn't a sport. I mean, this guy, it's got to be Peter King's burner account. And they just like tweet me, he's entitled to his opinion. Like, imagine if that's your argument. Well, he's got an opinion. He can have one. You're allowed to have an opinion in this world.
Right.
Pardon me for living.
Yes, you are. And you're allowed to be dumbfounded by how stupid it is on this, because you know what, when he wrote it, he was like, you know what's gonna happen, I'm gonna be like Lee Greenwood and I'm honoring the 4th of July and everyone's gonna lockstep with the old King Man. All right, what's coming up, Mr. certainly with the stack?
Well, Gordon Hayward makes a interesting proclamation this weekend about his availability. On top of that, one of the greatest shows of the 90s is returning to television.
That's always good news. All right, so we'll be right back here to the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Now, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The Stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two. Free sale, no down payment. Oh, you should be reading this, John. Consider they pay you. No payments and 0% financing for 12 full months. For more info, go to windownation.com. Real quick, there's a Instagram account that's called Rigs of Dad, and they show pictures of like older dudes playing instruments, and this guy has red, white, and blue drums. So, and it just says, I'll just do this briefly. If you're lucky enough to hear it, your face faucet would have been on full blast, drowning your soul patch with the sweet serenade of Larry Levine here. Larry was pushing the legal limit of rack capacity on his kit, but what kind of celebration would it be without as many booms as possible? For some, stacking arms is a constitutional right. For others, it's a symbolic gesture, but symbolic is played like symbol. And for Larry, it's a necessity. Most of you know that the Aerosmith tribute scene is already pretty saturated, so it takes a lot of splashes to make a splash these days. And that's exactly what Larry's band, Leaving on the Levine on the Edge, a tribute to Aerosmith, did. He dove right in and pumped out all the Pump era hits, soaking us all with the songs and prowess of a true pro. I was worried about the disbanding of Levine and Elevator a couple months back, meaning Larry's career was going down. And there you go. But I just like how he puts the name in.
Levine in an elevator. Maybe the guy from Maroon 5 can start an Aerosmith cover band. That would be the name of the band.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
now
as long as he takes his shirt off. I know.
I think one of the guys in the Five got a little bit of trouble with the law, if I'm not mistaken. Well,
of course they do. They're bad boys. They're the bad boys of rock and roll, just like Aerosmith were. You see, there you go. More synergy. More synergy between the two.
Toxic Twins. But, I mean, come on. All right. So what's going on?
Well, there. I mean, listen, let's get to some of the good news. There's enough bad news when it comes to this weekend and all the sports and all the crap that's been happening. Like when the NBA says that Sacramento's the seventh team of the 22 bound for Walt Disney World that have shut down their practice facility. So now you got the Kings, the Bucks, the Heat, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Suns, and the Nets. They've all closed it down. But one team, it seems to be squeaky clean, is the Boston Celtics. On top of that, we haven't heard anybody from the Celtics saying that they weren't going to be playing, so it looks like it's full steam ahead. And then finally, we got some dates when you're going to see real basketball. As a matter of fact, the very first basketball game you're going to see the Boston Celtics play is going to be against Oklahoma City at 5 p.m. on July 24th. That is the first of their three scrimmage games that they have set up getting ready for the regular season. So, yep, even though it's a scrimmage, it's real basketball July 24th, not too far from now. They also play a game on July 26th, 2 days later, against Phoenix. That is a nice 1:30 Sunday game, not bad. And then Tuesday on July 28th will be their final warm-up. Nice team to warm up against, Houston. So they will be playing Houston at 8 o'clock on July 28th. I have a feeling that 98.5 The Sports Hub will be airing probably at least one of those scrimmage games. I know we're going to be doing the entire postseason because I saw Mr. Sean Grandy post that. Now, one question is, even though all the players are going, will they all remain for the entirety of the playoffs? That sounds like a strange question, unless you are somebody who has a baby on the way, much like Gordon Hayward. He had this to say about it.
There's definitely a lot to think about. Certainly also my wife being pregnant, you know, there'll be a time if and when we're down there and, you know, she's going to have the baby, you know, I'm for sure going to go be with her. So that we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there.
Okay.
What is he?
So he also continued by saying that it was a pretty easy decision for him to leave for the baby when the baby is born.
It's a pretty easy decision for me on that. I've been at the birth of every one of my children. I think there are more important things in life. So like I said, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I know the NBA has a protocol in place for that type of thing, and hopefully it's I can do the quarantining and testing the appropriate amount of time and then, you know, be back with the boys.
Now the timing is.
Remember how pissed he was when he found out it was a girl?
Oh yeah,
I know. He's two in a row. I think there's a two. He's like, yep. Yeah, daddy's always happy. Yeah, that's another girl.
Yeah, he saw the pink and was just like, ugh.
Well, listen, this is going to be happy. You know, you talk about all these guys who are going to be trapped in the bubble. Finally, he's going to be able to play video games in his hotel room without his wife bothering him.
Exactly.
He's going to be all on his own.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like it's any kind of punishment. You can watch him on Twitch. You can do the whole nine.
You could, but the timing is significant because it sounds like, according to what he's been saying, she's due in September, and the conference finals are scheduled to start on September 11th. And if he leaves, there is a quarantining period, so he could be out for an entire series, whether it be the conference final or, if they're lucky enough, the finals. So that's an interesting twist in everything.
Why would he have to quarantine if they can test you?
Because that's the rules. Because the rules are, if you come back from out of wherever you are, you have to quarantine for a certain amount of time and until you pass two tests. So, you know what? I read this really interesting thing about Bundesliga. We'll even talk about it. Like, they just finished, that German soccer league just finished their season, and it was a remarkable success. The amount of positive tests they got was negligible, and it was just at the very beginning. And the steps that they took to go through everything, the one thing I thought was interesting is it was pretty regimented, very regimented, but they did loosen up things near the end. Now, granted, they were also in a country that was doing everything right, and outside of everything they were playing, people were being responsible, and the curve was super low, unlike what's going on right now. So they were able to be a little looser. It sounds to me, Fred, that if he leaves Gordon Hayward and comes back, that the period of time that he has to quarantine is going to be more loose. I think it's more about the tests themselves. Yes. And I think that if he passes two tests, you know, maybe 2 days apart from each other, then that would more than likely be the, especially in games that are important as conference finals and the finals themselves. I have a feeling they're going to change their tune. At the beginning, I see why they're doing it. So they don't want people to be jackasses. And I think that's kind of like we need to set a culture. We need to set this straight or things could blow up easily. I think once you get down to four teams, it's going to be a little less strict like it was with Bundesliga.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because so, I would be wondering why you would have to quarantine if they gave you tests and you didn't have it. So
yeah, and at that point also families will be allowed to be with you, but I don't know if they're going to want to deliver a baby at Disney World. That does sound a little bit strange. Also, some other news. Oh, that's right. Well, NFL Players Association, they voted unanimously on Friday to recommend skipping the entire preseason. You know how they've talked about it going down to two games?
Yeah.
Well, the Players Association said, nope, we don't want any preseason games. Now, I hate the preseason. The preseason sucks. Everyone hates the preseason. I don't know how you cannot have a preseason when you've got new players.
You saw it coming. I mean, as soon as the NFL said, well, we're knocking it down to two, the players are like, F that, this is just the beginning. I mean, the NFL needs to give itself as much time as possible to get their protocols right and to make sure that they make games as safe as possible. If you want a season, Rich, I am all for giving themselves an extra month to make sure they get everything locked down. Because what we're seeing with baseball, and this goes back to our discussion with Jason Mastrodonato, I mean, it's hard enough to contain baseball teams, and that's half as many as football teams, if not less than half. And you're not quarantining the football players either. The NFL has an enormous job ahead of them to make sure that they can keep everybody as safe as possible. I'm all for them skipping August to make sure they get it right.
Did you see what I retweeted? There was a Ken Rosenthal. There was the report I was talking about earlier about how there are a couple teams who just completely effed up the coronavirus testing. You know, it was supposed to be every team, I think on Wednesday, was going to return to their baseball teams, to their ballpark, and they were going to test and get the results by Friday so they could start spring training. Anyone who had passed would be there Friday to get and actually start doing drills. Well, the A's apparently had a massive screw up. It says here, matter of fact, this guy reported, the A's COVID-19 tests are still in San Francisco waiting to be sent to a lab in Utah. They're due to arrive at 1:30 a.m. this morning. The Athletic obtained a message sent from GM David Frost to players, quote, if possible, I'm as frustrated and pissed as you are. So they haven't been able to practice because they've been waiting to get it back. And Ken Rosenthal tweeted, the Athletic also learned from sources that the testers did not show for the Angels and two other unidentified clubs. So the testers didn't even show
up to test these guys. Yeah. And they said Angels players did saliva tests on their own. So they were just like, F it. Give me the thing. I'm going to do it on my own. And the team shipped the test to a lab in Utah so they can get some sort of answer so they could practice. They said Monday workout pushed back from 9 a.m. to noon to make sure that testers are present. So this is a league that's had how many months to figure this out? And they didn't even have people ready to test them on day one.
In fairness, in Utah, they fell out of John Stockton's shorts. I mean, they're very, very small.
There's not a lot of room to ride anything in those shorts.
Sure.
Yeah. That's right. So there you go. And the McCourty twins talked about how tough it's going to be to have a season without a preseason.
I know for me, just assuming everything is kosher and we're able to go back and things are flowing, anytime you reduce preseason games, I know for some people you look at it and it's just like, hey, like no one goes to those games, they're not as important, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, like some of your favorite players now were guys that had to go out there and make a name for themselves in those preseason games. So whenever you see those types of games taken away, it hurts because that's the way guys make the team that they're on. They make other teams. But like you said, at the end of the day, I think at this point, it's just like, what's the safest way to get back on the field and to actually have a season? If that means that we're reducing preseason, whatever the case is, then obviously we have to do what we need to do.
Well, that's for the Patriots. I mean, I can't think of many teams that a preseason would benefit more with the whole quarterback situation. So get ready. That's going to be interesting.
That's a nice contradiction of what he would say.
What's that?
He just contradicted himself.
What do you mean?
He's like, it's a shame they're not having preseason games, but then again, having preseason games, I don't want, or something like that.
No. What he said was...
No, I understand what he's saying, but I've had it with the McCourty twins and their takes on all of this. I've had it with them.
Why? They're one of the few people who are talking, and they're smart, and they're like they're guys who actually are on the inside. They're the leaders of the team. I like to know what they
have to say. They weren't smart. I just have enough of them. It's enough of the McCourty twins.
You're just sore that you made fun of their podcast to their face and they didn't like it.
Yeah. I've thought about that many times since then.
It's stuck in your craw.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Well, listen, in this,
one McCourty and then his twin that's like the brother of Peyton and Eli.
Oh, don't say that. He's not the Cooper of the McCourtys. Jason McCourty had some big plays this year. He was a good player.
Paycheck. All right, go ahead.
All right, so listen, this is a tough time for all of us, and what we could all use is a little gift from the television gods, and I think we got one, because one of the best television shows of the 90s is being rebooted, and just because of the format itself, there is hope. The return of Beavis and Butthead and Mike Judge is the guy behind it. This is not some other one picking up his thing and running with it. Mike Judge has revived Beavis and Butthead. It's going to be on Comedy Central. They have picked up two brand new seasons of the show. I can't wait to see what kind of spin they put on this because, first of all, I love the cartoon part of it anyway. The videos were the best. So, obviously,
I guess it's going to have YouTube stuff and all that. Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Amazing. I can't wait. Beavis and Butthead was one of those shows that was just next level. And if it wasn't for Beavis and Butthead, I bet you could probably give credit to Beavis and Butthead for the success of shows like, you know, South Park, you know, maybe even things like Family Guy, like edgy cartoons they saw were something that could be successful and stick. I know MTV tried to do a bunch of other stuff like Daria that tried to catch on, but nothing was as strong
Daria
as Beavis
was on
and Butthead.
Forever. Yeah. Daria was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead.
Daria was not a good show. Like that was like one of those.
I thought it was fine. It was on.
It was. It was on. Yes,
yeah,
it was.
It was just one of those things that I think it was on after Beavis and Butthead or before it. But yep. That was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
Mike Judge, as I said, I loved the majority of Silicon Valley. There were like some ebbs and flows, but I mean, the first two or three seasons were like perfect TV. So the guy still has his fastball. Hopefully, he'll bring it for the new seasons of Beavis and Butthead. That would
be. I guess the neighbor who lives in the or has the RV is like a
Mr. Super Wilson?
Trump guy. Is that the guy's name?
Was it Mr.
Golfer
dude. Yeah,
I guess he's a big Trump guy in the new one. That is going to be his angle. Well, listen.
Oh, real quick, good movie recommendation for you.
The Invitation. It's on Netflix. It's been out for like 5 years. I've been wanting to watch it. I finally watched it. Don't read anything about it. Don't watch the trailer. It's really good. Solid. 90 minutes. Quick one, too. In and out. Good flick. The Invitation.
All right. Well, you watch The Invitation. I'll be concentrating on all the sweet, sweet asses that walk around everywhere I am as Ass Man plays in the background. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
Thatcher and Rich. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.